Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord is awesome. Jesus is coming back, but before that, there's going to be a battle. So we're fighting not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. So the battle belongs to the Lord, but Jesus uses his church because we are his body here on this earth. We are here for a purpose, because it's to hold back the evil forces of hell. That's why we are born again. That's why we are here in his stead, to do his work, to cast out devils, to bring them down where they ought to be brought down. That's everywhere. So don't forget, lift up the name of Jesus. And you all probably know that our pastor, Brother Dave, is in hospital since Wednesday, I think. And before we start this message, let's rise and pray for him and for this service. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you always do hear us. I thank you for your precious blood that we can come into your presence in the name of Jesus. So we uplift Pastor Dave before you. I ask you, Lord, that you will reach down and touch him and give him the courage and the strength, what you have him there to do, Lord. I know there's a purpose in everything you do, Lord. You do not tell us, because you are God. You know what to do. You know when to share and when to tell. But Lord, as your servant is lying in bed, Lord, you will touch him. By the power of your Holy Spirit, hold back the evil forces of hell that try to get unto him, Lord. They will not touch him. We pray a hedge of protection around him in the name of Jesus. Devils, in the name of Jesus, we command you to step back. The Lord Jesus rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. So, Lord God, I ask you to bless this service this morning. Bless the ears. Bless me with the message, with the power of your Spirit. Lord, that everything will be blessed. Lord, I ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I didn't have much of time to prepare a message because the thing happened to me so fast. I wasn't expected to preach this morning. But there's always something. If you love the Lord, you know there's always something to say. And we just celebrated Easter, and you know how Easter is. It's a blessing. That's where life in my book starts. And someone started that. We in this earth here, we are here for a short time. And there's places in our lives, as a Christian, you make surrender calls. You have to surrender to something. You have to surrender to what God wants you to do. And that's always, sometimes it's the hardest thing in the world. But Lord helps us. The Lord Jesus helps us. Because we need to realize and remember, before the crucifixion, there was always something there because of Jesus when he had to go to the cross. And he knew that before the beginning of this foundation of this world, that he will someday will have to do what he came to do, is to save mankind from their sin. And it was not left out. Not one idle order was left out what God intended to do. If you read in the Old Testament what they had to sacrifice, in the Old Testament, in the wilderness, when God set up the Jewish law and the sacrificial lamb, that they had to sacrifice a lamb every year without blemish, once a year for their sins, into the holiest of all, into the hold the high priest want to obtain salvation for them. And today, it's different. There it was a lamb. And that lamb had to go through certain rituals. They had to lay their hands on that lamb. The scapegoat was set up to lay all the hands of the sins of the people on this scapegoat and to let it go in the wilderness. That was our scapegoat. That was their scapegoat. And the lamb was the offering that he made for their sins. And we can read all through the Old Testament how God, through the children of Israel, tried to establish his church in the Old Testament. It was just something that we have to live today, which is far more better now. When we read about Abraham, when Abraham had his true son Isaac, and you can probably read, you haven't read it over and over again, then God says, Abraham loved his son dearly. He would have given everything to keep him alive. And God made a special surprise to him. God made a visit to him and said, Abraham. Abraham said, "Who? Here I am. Take thy only son that you love, take it to a mountain where I'm going to show you, and there sacrifice him there for me." All he said, no ifs and buts, and you don't know what went through Abraham's mind, the agony, the pain. His only son, now he waited till he was 90 years old to get what he was promised, and all of a sudden he had to what? Sacrifice him. Think about it. He waited years and years for God's promise to be fulfilled, to get his only son, and now God says, go sacrifice him. How would we feel about this? Think about it. The pain and the agony you will have to go through. You love your only son, the only one you got, and now I have to go kill him. And he went. But God stopped him, because all he needed is an obedient servant. And he said, hold it, Abraham. I know now you love me. I know that you have done this for me. I will prepare a sacrifice for you. And Abraham saw into the future, and he saw Jesus one day will come. Now we'll switch a little story. Let's go into the New Testament, where Jesus came into the scene. God's only beloved Son, in whom he was well pleased. He said, I will send you to this wicked world. And Jesus was obedient to that, to save mankind from their sin. We know all about the crucifixion. We all know about where Jesus had, like it says, and I will give you a little quote here. It's a place of surrender, a price of surrender, and then there's the peace of surrender. That's what Jesus had to do. When he came into the Garden of Gethsemane, when God told him what he had to do, think. Just get a little your thoughts, travel into the in back to the future and see what Jesus had to go through to come to the cross. The cross was nothing. It's the point of surrender where he knew full well before he went to the cross, and he knew he would be rejected by his God, by his only God, Father. He knew he would be spit upon. He knew that he would beat him, that they would do anything to kill him, and they couldn't take his life. Because he said, I give my life, nobody takes it from me. He went into the Garden of Gethsemane with pain and suffering, the agony when he had to cry and fall down on his face before his God and said, my God, if this is possible, please take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That is the speed of surrender, where he surrendered a place, where he had to surrender his total life to God, what God wanted him to do. He fell on his back, he fell on his knees, crying. His tears, his sweat became blood. Have I ever sweated blood because of agony and pain? I don't think so. Think about it. What does it take for a human being, and he was human, he was in a human state, to sweat blood? How horrible is sin in the sight of God? How bad is it for God that he had to go on his knees and cry out for mercy? Can I really take this, Lord? Can I really go through this? Don't you kid yourself. It crossed his mind. But that's why he said, if it be willing, please, can you take this cup from me? A cup of indignation, a cup of wrath, where God will have to pour out his wrath even on you and me or upon his son. God take the pick. He took the pick. Remember with Elijah at the Mount Carmel when he prayed and interceded for the children of Israel between God and Baal. He built an altar unto the Lord there. It was only a prophet against the whole nation of unbelief, of devils. And he prayed, the God that will answer by fire, let him be true God. And he prayed, instead of God's judgment poured upon the children of Israel, he rightly had the right to do it. He poured it upon the sacrifice and consumed everything. That's what Jesus had to go through. That is the pain and the suffering he went through, because he loved you, he loved me. He loved this whole world For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The pain was unimaginable. But one thing you have to remember, when he surrendered, there came an angel and strengthened him. And I will read a little bit of a verse here, just to make sure I'm not bringing it out of my own mind. It's in Luke 22. I will start with verse 39. And he came out and went, he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, and saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy be done. He knew what he had to face. He knew perfectly what it's going to be, what the agony and the pain he will have to get. And then he says, then an angel appeared unto him, and it strengthened him. And still, it didn't go away, because being rejected by God, being cursed, because everyone that is hanging on the tree is cursed, became a curse for you. It became a curse for me, and he felt that agony before he went to the cross. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples, and he found them sleeping for sorrow. That's the human race. We'd rather fall asleep than being in the battle. But you got to remember, Jesus was the only one that could take that brunt. He's the only one that went to the cross to die for you and for me. No human being could have paid. We couldn't have paid it. We'd still be paying for all eternity. That's why I'm saying, either let Jesus pay for it, or you will pay for it for all eternity in a lake of fire. That is what we have to do, kids, young ones, young adults, whoever is not born again. Listen to me. If you reject this love gift of the truth to be saved for all eternity, if you die in your sin, you will spend in the lake of fire without stopping, without dying. You would cry out in agony and pain. I wish I would have turned to Jesus for salvation. It's going to be over. You cannot return once you're there. We can't. That's why we have to make a decision now. That's why we need to say, Jesus, I can't save myself. I need you to save me. I need you to help me. Because he's the only one that died for us. And with the closing, I will give you the peace of surrender and the prize of surrender, what God did to his Son. It's in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Always remember, he was you and he was me. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also had it highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's where your power is once you turn to Jesus. No devil in hell can withstand that one. The name of Jesus. That's why when you try to cast out the devil in the name of God, nothing will happen. The minute you mention the name of Jesus is why what he said. He has highly exalted him, and he has given him a name above every name. when you cast out the devil, when you heal the sick, when you do whatever you do, the authority is in you and in me. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, devil. That's all we need to do. Jesus does the rest. So the Lord bless you and make you a blessing.